Backseat Box Office, episode number 6 for the weekend of October 29th through the 31st, 2010.
Hey, this is Tony.
This is Andrew.
This is Jonathan.
And we are the Backseat Producers. I'm just going to just advance you guys' ranks. You're Backseat Producers now. Screw all this other stuff going on. You're Backseat Producers.
The monthly check's going to be a little bit bigger now?
Yes. You are getting a...
Tripled.
We're tripling your pay rate.
We're getting three times what we got before.
That's exactly right.
Gonna live you living the rich life now.
Well, you're doing three times the work. So
good point.
Virtual Sausage Fest continues, but not for much longer. It ends in probably minutes from when you listen to this podcast. It's made $75, which I'm impressed that it made anything. If you know, considering people aren't getting booze and sausage and chicks making out online the way that they had when we were at Sausage Fest. So,
to say if only we'd gotten permission to share those videos, we could have used them as donation incentives.
I actually have access to ask a few of the people involved. You know what? I don't think we really need to go there. I think it's going to be fine the way it is. We'll just wait for next Sausage Fest. Just try to outdo ourselves. Seriously, I don't know how that could happen. Anyway.
Last week it was Helen Mirren, and this week it's Memories of Sausage Fest that just shut down at the non-transitionable.
I think every week it's been Memories of Sausage Fest. Just about.
Probably. But I think it's safe to say that maybe we'll have an announcement of the final tally of Sausage Fest next week. But after that, Sausage Fest will go away until next August or September when we start gearing up for Archon next year. Because it's coming back. Sausage Fest is coming back in a big way. We had a great time. It was a lot of fun. We raised money for a good cause, so there's no reason not to do it again.
No reason not to turn it into an institution.
Exactly. Sausage Fest 2. Electric
if nothing
Boogaloo.
Else, that should get Jonathan back each year for Archon. So that's good. Draw him back year.
He'll
after
come
year.
Back. He'll come back to Archon, and he'll have a better video camera next time.
I do have a digital camcorder.
I have two of them. Unfortunately, the way we had moved the desk against the beds to make the bar, my camera was in one of the desk drawers, so I couldn't get to it. Then again, I would have had to ask the girls to move to reach where that was, because they were kind of in the way. That would have been rude.
Yeah, you didn't want to stop that.
No.
You didn't want to get in the middle of that.
No, you didn't need to break the flow.
No, you wanted nature to take its course.
Amen.
So, I'm doing a little shopping now, thanks to this podcast that we started doing. So you've sucked me in a little bit there, Tony Mast.
So not only are you doing more work, not getting paid, but now I'm even getting you to spend money.
That's right.
How awesome is that?
I can't stand my audio quality, so I'm looking for a mic. So if anyone out there knows a good deal on a good mic, send me an email. Or put it in the comments, whatever. But
sure.
I need to find something that sounds a little better, because this is driving me crazy. Now that I'm editing them especially, it's driving me crazy.
Yeah. You really change how you speak. You learn your tics. It gets really frustrating, because even now I'm listening to myself speak, and I know where I need to edit, and it gets frustrating.
Yeah, when I first, I think on that first episode, a couple of times, I had this very distinct type of sound, and man, that drives me crazy every time I do it. Now I notice it in common, you know, every day when I'm at work, I use it. It just drives me, enrages me every time I hear myself do it.
Excuse me. The more you edit, you will start phasing that out.
That's only a good thing.
There, you did it just now.
Oh, son of a monkey.
That's actually really kind of, that's one of those things that's rough to get over. Like, Alex, he was the one that editing the way the game, and excuse me. And he would harass me about breathing heavily into the mic. And it's like, I don't have a choice but to not breathe. You know, I can't just stop breathing for an hour and a half while we're having our conversation. But, yeah, and then when I'll do the editing with him, or when I'm doing the final mix of the show, I'll notice he's got that same, like, smacking of the lips. So, actually, I've gotten to the point where I sit in front of the mic with my mouth open at all times, breathing very shallowly in the hopes of not smacking my lips and not breathing into the mic.
I've noticed that same breathing problem myself, and I'm hoping that maybe once I have a non-headset mic, that perhaps that will improve that.
It will help. Headset mics, they tend to pick up a lot more of that kind of stuff.
I've got a dynamic mic, and it picks it up, all of it. So it's,
do you have a windscreen on it?
The condenser mic. I've got a...
Like a foam? Filter. Okay.
I mean, I could throw a windscreen on there, but, you know.
It helps. I
said you pick one or the other.
Yeah, so. It helps, but...
Yeah.
Well, I know people that I have visibly with my own eyes see have those things, and they still have problems with breathing too heavily into the microphones. So, yeah.
Well, and I mean, I've got...
Not to name names.
The hands are the big noteworthy feature, but I also have a large head, and with that comes a large nose and thus large nostrils, and so there's a lot of, it's like cavernous breathing room.
You get some wind tunnel action going?
Yeah, it's wind moving through the caves, you know, kind of when you think about it.
Maybe so. You just need to angle your head down a little more so your nostrils are pointed down. I'm here to help.
All right, I'll just talk like this. See that? Like,
chin in your chest. Now you have to do a video cast that way.
I'm pretty sure that's not one of the tips you learn in broadcasting school. But
hey, no, if Tony Mass says it's so, it must
pro be. Tip. Just the tip.
Just the tip. So what are we actually here for?
I forgot.
I don't think podcasting advice is.
Show's done.
Movies involved, I think.
Maybe.
Historic movies, our favorite movies of all time? No, that's not it.
That's another show.
But not the best movies. There's a difference.
There is a difference. Yeah,
there's the best movies, and then there's your favorite movies.
Oh,
that's a Pania pro tip.
Oh, that is a conversation I don't need to have anymore. Because you guys heard the tip of that conversation.
Right.
I met those guys after they had that conversation because it was game night. And so I walked through the door and I get accosted by Paul. So, what? What the hell just happened? And they're like accosting me,
spot on, by the way.
Pointing at me. And like, so, what do you think of this? What am I supposed to answer here? Because I'm not really sure. Yeah, it was a little off. It was a weird night.
Speaking of game night, I hear you killed all of your players last week.
I did. It was awesome. It was the end of the campaign, and I knew it was going to go one of two ways. It was either they were going to free the dragon and get all the gold, or they weren't. They chose the latter. They chose poorly.
I'll find other people to rescue me.
Yeah.
So speaking of choosing poorly,
perhaps,
well, not so much for you this week.
No, this week perhaps. I had a pretty good week.
You did.
Nice transition, by the way. Fantastic.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And then Jonathan, of course, and I, we fell down a little bit this week. Not bad.
But no,
not
I refuse to accept responsibility for that. Because
we talked you out of it.
Oh, if Jackass had a 50% drop off, it would still be like $25 million, and there's no way it's going to drop off that big. And then the numbers come through, and it had like a 60% drop.
To be fair, if it had a 15% drop, it would have still been in second place behind freaking $40 million Paranormal Activity. Seriously, who expected that?
This is true. I'm just saying.
Oh wait, Andrew did.
I would also like to point out that you say this, but right before you made your picks, I picked Paranormal Activity to beat Jackass 3.
He did. That's fair.
Right before you picked.
Yeah, but why would I trust you any more than I would trust Tony? Like,
So you're saying you listened to me, that I talked you out of picking that, but yet you don't trust me enough to believe what I picked my actual picks were.
Here's the trick, though. You and Tony picked two different things.
This is true.
Tony both said it can't possibly drop that far.
Actually, Andrew and I had no picks the same. None of our picks were the same across the board.
That's true. But you agreed the Jackass couldn't possibly have.
We said it was unlikely. Yeah. I think our exact words was that was unlikely to drop.
Either way, there was agreement there. And that's what.
So what he's really saying is he doesn't have confidence in his own statement, because he was the one that said in the first weekend Jackass is going to do $1 billion this opening weekend, then nobody's going to go the next weekend.
And then last week he was like,
oh, no, you said that.
Whoa! I had confidence. It's just you guys were like, oh no, and I was like, well, you idiots clearly know more than I do, but obviously that's not the case.
Therein lies your second mistake. Your first mistake was not listening to your own gut. The second mistake was believing that we knew what we were talking about.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's always that's really always a mistake.
Come on, how long have you been listening to the Backseat Producers to know that I don't know what the hell I'm talking about most of the time? Come on. Damn it, now I'm channeling Pania. Come on!
So you want to go through how you did last week, Tony?
Let's do this.
All right.
Because I kind of like how I did.
Not too bad.
So my selections last week were number one, Jackass 3D, which that didn't happen. number two, Paranormal Activity. That didn't happen. Red in number three, bam. Hereafter number four, and then Social Network number five. I had 3 through 5, and all 5 of my picks were in the top 5. Actually, yeah, I was the only one that did that this week. Because you jokers thought Secretariat would still be up there.
Now, to be fair, though, I'd like to point out.
To be fair,
Social Network beat out Secretariat by all of, I think, $275,000.
Yeah, it was ridiculously close. And I've noticed in the daily numbers for the rest of the week after this weekend, Secretariat is actually in the fifth place. It's in the fifth spot during the week.
Yeah.
So, like, when the octogenarians go to see movies during the week, they go to see Secretariat because they remember that. That could be horribly ageist of me to say that, though.
No, I mean, we've always made fun of the ARP going out to see Red, but why not throw this in?
That's true. Let's go ahead and dive in full on into the bigotry.
This could be our thing. We could be the ageist cast.
Want to get the AARP to boycott us.
Ooh, that. We'd get a lot of publicity from that.
Or not.
So, yep, Tony, you had a 60% week. I did not do quite as well. I had picked Paranormal Activity 2 at number 1, which, you know, bam. Then at number 2, I had Jackass 3D, which came through for me. Then I got them a little mixed up. I got my signals crossed a little bit. I had picked Hereafter at 3, which, you know, obviously Red was 3. I had Reddit number 4, so yeah, not so good. And then, of course, The Social Network just edged out Secretariat, which was my pick for number 5. So 40% for me this week.
See, and for me, that was listening to Rotten Tomatoes. Because I also reference Rotten Tomatoes to see where the rankings lie.
Right.
Whatever.
Not sure what your point is. Are you talking about Secretariat and The Social Network?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So what you're saying, Social Network had better rankings on Rotten Tomatoes last week than Secretariat?
It has better rankings than Secretariat, period. Because they don't really do it by week. It's just,
right, it's
in
just
general.
Cumulative.
Right.
Okay. All right. Jonathan, how'd you do?
Oh, well, I decided to be contrarian, and so I picked some from Tony, I picked some from you, and apparently I picked all the bad stuff from both of you, so.
You picked the same as me, with the exception of your last pick. We were exactly the same with the exception of the last pick.
And the only reason why I wasn't exactly the same with the last pick was because I wanted to pick whatever your last one was opposite. And so.
You want to be different. As I recall, you want to be a little bit different.
Yep. I believe that was the exact words. And,
you know, I got Red and I got Hereafter, right?
Correct.
And so, you know, for just being here to BS.
BSBO.
But obviously, I think the lesson, take home lesson is listen to your gut, not Tony and I.
Yeah, and not to you two.
That's fair.
So, I mean, I think the big story from this weekend's returns is Paranormal Activity 2.
That was ridiculous.
$40 million. And guess how much it cost to make that movie, Tony?
I can see right here that it cost $3 million to make that movie. Because I'm looking...
Which is about three times more than it cost them to make the first one.
Yeah. Well, it had more actors in this one and more cameras, so they needed more, from what I hear. It had six cameras instead of one. They had to buy 5 new ones. Yeah. Well, and then the opening night, Friday night, it made like $20 million on Friday night.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I kept banking on horror movies in the month of October. Apparently, what I need to learn next year is horror movies in the last half of October are the ones that bring in the bank. Because the ones that were in the first half of October did crap. It's the stuff that's in the last two weekends of October that apparently is what brings the kids out to date night horror movies.
Well, and also these were, you know, falling on a... These were sequels,
yeah.
Right. Paranormal Activity 2. We have Saw 3D, or as I call it, Saw 7.
Right. Right.
Saw ridiculous number here.
I couldn't believe they've been doing it for 7 years.
It's 7 straight years, and the release dates year over year are just within days of each other because they're the last weekend of the month.
Right before Halloween.
Yeah. Which is just good timing. I mean, that's just smart. Movie
you
like
know it's
this.
Halloween. It's time for Saw.
Yeah.
So, always right before Halloween, they throw out the new Saw. And so I'm wondering how it's going to do this year because the last few years, Saw has not been doing too well.
It hasn't been doing that well. And I don't know if the marketing has been as – the marketing budget has been as high in past years as it's been this year. Because it seems like I'm seeing more commercials for it. I'm seeing more advertisements in other places for it. It just seems to be more of an event this year. Maybe because of the 3D. Maybe because they're also positing that this is the last one. I've actually seen some of them say that this is the final Saw. So, I don't know if that has anything to do with it. Maybe I'm just.
I mean, Saw 6 last year. Wow, only brought in about $14 million on opening weekend, and only about $27 million across its entire run. So,
yeah, that's not a big bank. Then again, these movies don't cost anything to make.
About $10 million.
Yeah, and the first one cost what, $1 million?
Yeah, 1.2.
Yeah. And it made like 70 or something like that? Or am I thinking the second one?
The first one made $53.1 million and cost $1.2 million to make. The second one in 2005 brought in $87 million domestically, and it had a $4 million budget, which yeah. was their most profitable Saw with Saw 2.
That's ridiculous. That's a ridiculous turnaround. And if you're talking percentages, the first one was still better, but my gosh, that's just ridiculous. It's like going in and, you know, throwing a buck down on the counter, coming back 3 weeks later and having a 50.
So do you think people are going to come out with the 3D, with possibly this being the last Saw? You think the crowds are going to show up in the theater?
I think they're going to show up. It's going to be... I have a feeling that it's going to be more of a box office than last year. The $14 million. I think he can beat $14 million. It's Halloween. It's a 3D movie. It's a horror movie in 3D. Tickets cost a little more for the horror movies. That is a factor. But I think people will come out to it. The drop-off is going to be the decider here. Because you've got two horror movies now that look like they're going to be in the top five for this weekend, between Saw and Paranormal Activity. Even though, questionably, Saw really isn't horror so much as it is thriller. I mean, it's going to be splitting hairs on genre. It's a movie that's going to be scary, that's going to make people jump and scream and, you know, squeeze their significant other in the dark. But yeah, it's going to be hard to say if Paranormal Activity is going to have that big of a drop off. I just don't know. I don't know if it can make number one. I think it's going to do well. I don't know if it can pull in number one.
Well, and also, you know, with Halloween being on a Sunday this year, most people are going to be out celebrating their actual Halloweens, you know, going to the different parties and whatnot on Friday, probably on Saturday, I would imagine.
Right.
So will that affect the amount of people going to see movies?
It could. It very well could. I know locally I've got the choice of a couple of different parties I can go to on Saturday night. The question is do people do that both nights? Friday night, are they going to do a Friday night date night, go to the movies, go to see a scary movie? They saw Paranormal Activity 2 last weekend. Let's go see Saw 7 this weekend. The thing is, with a sequel, it's kind of hard to predict, because unless that movie is done well in like the DVD market, have enough people seen the predecessor to want to go to enjoy the sequel?
You know, with Saw having been around for so long, I think most people are aware of it and have a fairly solid concrete idea in their heads about what type of movie they're going to go see.
Sure, but I don't know a lot of people. I mean, I know some do it, but I don't know a whole lot of people that will go see a sequel without at least having seen the movie before it. Which is, could be a big part of the reason for the drop-off in the Saw films. Because when you're talking Saw 6, it's like, oh, I haven't seen 4 and 5, so do I need to go see those first?
What about just the getting sick of it factor, you know? It's like, oh, God, it's Saw, you know.
The thing is,
5,000.
The thing is, the people that went to see it last year, the people that were part of that $14 million opening weekend, those people aren't sick of it. Those people are going to come back to it.
True.
The other thing I think it has in its favor is that it's not being called Saw 7. It's called Saw 3D. It almost, by the name itself, it's giving itself the... kind of a reboot, but permission to have a new starting point. I know, like, in comic books, they have story arcs where... These six issues are a story, and the next six issues are a different story. And yeah, maybe you didn't like this six issue arc, but we're starting over with a new number one story arc right here. Even though it's issue number 43, we can start with a new story arc with this one, and you can read these six issues and still get a complete story.
They are renowned for taking series who, you know, might have 50 issues out. And they'll start renumbering at the number one, even though there's no break in continuity. It's the exact same storyline, the exact same people. But they'll renumber at number one because they know, I mean, it's well proven that number one issues are going to sell better than any other issue.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's a great way. People, like you said, people come in because they think it's a good place to jump onto the series, that they're not missing anything from before.
Right.
And so that's a good point. That's the only new movie coming out, Saw 3D. What do you think is going to happen with the box office returns this week?
That is a great question. let's see. Looking at what we have right now, and I'm going back to last week's numbers. I have a feeling that Social Network is finally going to move off the top five. Pretty confident about that one. The only outlier there could be Hereafter. If Hereafter has a big drop, that could happen differently. Because Hereafter actually has the potential to have a really big drop. It basically debuted at number four, because that was when it was the first time it was in wide release. Not a really great sign for a movie. But who knows? If it got decent word of mouth, which I really haven't heard good word of mouth about it, so I have a feeling that I'm just going to go ahead and say Hereafter number five. Screw this. I'm just going to jump right in. Number five, Hereafter. Number four, Red. Number three, Jackass 3D. Number two, Saw.
There's the tricky one.
Number two, Saw 3D. Number one, Paranormal Activity 2. Not looking back, no second thoughts, just doing it. I took too long last week. I second-guessed myself too much.
Well, you know, I've already got mine written down here, and I got to tell you, we are in complete agreement.
Wow.
I had same as you, Paranormal Activity 2 as 1, Saw 3D, Jackass 3D, Red, and Hereafter. So no divisiveness, no conflict this week between us.
Serenity.
Jonathan, what are you going to do?
I actually thought about this ahead of time, and I came up with my own list that isn't based on either of you guys. I know, crazy.
Because he got so annoyed by our manipulation of him last week.
Well, I love the email he sent us about it, too.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
You guys are jerks. I don't think he used those exact words, but...
misled me.
That was the tone that I read it in. I read it in a Pania voice. it was a very surly email.
So, but go on. What's your list, Jonathan?
My list. So, I figure Paranormal Activity is going to stay on top. I think that Saw 3D will open at 2. I am going to say that all of the potential Jackass watchers are going to go to Saw 3D instead. And so I'm going to say Red is at number 3. Manages to stay at number 3. Then Jackass 3D, and then probably Hereafter. Just because it's newer. So,
you know what? There's a lot of credence to that, because Saw 3D is taking over a lot of those 3D screens that Jackass is going to have to release to it.
Well, the Reds had a nice kind of shallow decline and gross each weekend.
Yeah, it only lost 30%. That's not bad.
No, yeah, and sorry. I see a lot of. I mean, like, I intend to see it this weekend. Not that, you know, my $8 is going to be enough to push it up a couple million, but you know, I think there are people that might have not gone to see it.
Hey,
because they
just get 200,000 of your closest friends to go along with you, and you will bring it up over a million.
Let's bring the entire city of Denver to AMC theaters on Friday night.
There you go. Make it a tweet up.
Then they might be able to, you know, cut you. The theater might be able to cut you some sort of group discount if you actually bring the entire city with you.
$7.50 instead of $8. That's a deal. That's a deal. I might just go out there for that.
And a small popcorn. Free small popcorn.
We'll throw in the butter for free.
All right. So, yeah, I mean, so there are lists. What movies are you guys thinking about going to see? Is anyone excited about going to see Saw? I'm not.
I've not seen any of the Saw films. I honestly, I just have never, they've never seemed interesting to me. I am confident that there will be a Saw 3D review on the Backseat Producers website this weekend, because that movie
Darren is a machine.
Well, and this is that movie is right up Darren's alley. Darren is a big fan of the Saw films, so I'm confident that he will be seeing that movie. It would shock me if he did not see it.
I love Darren's review of Piranha 3D, so I can't wait to read it.
I like all of Darren's reviews. I don't always agree with him, but he's consistent. He's consistent in his the types of movies that he likes. He's consistent in what he likes about movies. The thing that I love is I don't always agree with him, but I know the points that I don't agree with him because he's so consistent that I know if he says, "Hey, I like this movie. You know, I like this movie for the reasons that, you know, it's got hyper stylized violence and blah blah blah." I know, yeah, it's probably not going to be a movie for me. That's fine. But the cool thing is I know that, and knowing that going in, I can still trust his reviews.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that's the most you can ask for from a critic is just that they remain. You can never expect a critic to mirror your, what you like, what you dislike. But if they're consistent, then like you said, you can at least have a frame of reference.
Right. And if he says, "Hey, this movie was more romantic comedy than I like," so therefore, because he'll tell you he's not a big fan of the romantic comedy. This movie is, you know, it's not for me. It's a romantic comedy. I didn't buy this. You know, it doesn't work for him, but it may be something to do on a date night with Julie. You know, that's exactly. So the consistency is the biggest thing, and that was the one thing I asked for from him as a reviewer, and I didn't even need to ask for it. It was already there in his reviews. That, and he doesn't really do a lot of the snark.
Which, oh no, I've never really noticed any snark at him.
Yeah, which I love. I snarky reviews just annoy me to no end. Where they can be moderately amusing, you get no value from them. Is this movie worth seeing? I don't know. I just want to rip on it because it's cool and hip, and I found a clever pun to use in my headline. Congratulations, you are a fourth grader.
Yeah, and if you're not going out to the site on Mondays to look at Darren's reviews, because he pretty much has one there every Monday.
Yeah,
you should definitely check it out.
That, and come back on Monday or Tuesday, and you get the weekend box office to see how we did. That Andrew does.
I usually post that late on Mondays, so that's usually there by the time I go to bed.
Yeah, normally I see it Tuesday morning. So. Yeah.
I can't really get to it till after I get everybody else to bed. So,
I understand. Why do you think we record as late as we do?
That's a very good point.
All right. Well, thank you guys. We'll kind of have a good Halloween. We'll see you on the other side. See how this all shakes out.
Have a great week.
See you.